We begin today in Exodus chapter 13. When Pharaoh let the people of Israel go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, although that was the shortest route to the promised land. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. By day, the Lord went ahead of them by a pillar of cloud to guide them, and by night he led them in a pillar of fire to give them light. And whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out. And whenever the cloud stopped, the Israelites would set up camp, whether it was 2 days or a month or a year. That the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, the Israelites remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. Thus, at the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. Now, my friends, there are two critical moments in the life of every true believer in Jesus. There are two critical moments in the life of every Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Critical moment number one is when the cloud stops. Those moments when God says that we should not do anything now, not yet, wait on me. And critical moment number two is when the cloud lifts. Those moments when God says, go. Those moments when God expects us to obey Him and to move forward in faith. Hebrews 10:39 says, the righteous that is in Christ shall live by faith. And if anyone shrinks back from stepping out in faith, when I say go, when the cloud lifts, God says, my soul will take no pleasure in them. Now, this is a lesson that the Israelites learned the hard way in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Moses said to them, then as the Lord commanded, we set out towards the promised land. And I, Moses, said to you, see, the Lord your God has given you this land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord has told you. In other words, God was telling the Israelites to step out in faith and to go. But you were unwilling, Moses said. You did not trust the Lord who had gone ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day. And when the Lord heard what you said, he was angry. And he said, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, not one of you will enter the land I swore to make your home except Caleb and Joshua. For 40 years, God said, you will suffer in the desert for your sin, and you will know what it is to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things. Look here, folks. Look here. When God says, go. When God says, trust me. When God says, step out by faith and obey what I'm telling you, we do it. We do it, or God gets angry. We do it, or we face God's discipline. We do it, or God withdraws his offer and takes his power someplace else. Two critical moments in the life of every one of us individually as Christians and in our life as a church family. Moment number one is when God says, stop, wait on me. Moment number two is when God says, step out in faith, obey me, and go. Got it? Okay. Now, you might say, okay, so what does all of this really have to do, you know, in a practical level with us? Well, there's another way we could ask that very same question, and you know what that other way is. So are you ready? All you guys at our campus is ready? Here we go, nice and loud. One, two, three.
So what?
Right. So what, Lon? What difference does this make to me? Well, I want to tell you the difference that it makes. A little while ago, almost a year ago, I was reading Ezekiel chapter 34, and here's part of what that chapter says. It says, "Woe to the shepherds of Israel," God speaking, "who have not taken care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed up the sick, or bandaged the injured. You have not brought back the strays, and you have not searched for the lost. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I am against these shepherds, and I will hold them accountable for my flock." And while I was reading these words under deep conviction from the Holy Spirit that I had not been as good a shepherd here at McLean Bible Church as God wanted me to be, I cried out to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I repent. Lord, I am so sorry. Lord, I don't want you against me. Lord, I don't want you to remove me. Lord, what shall I do?" And God said to me, "What shall you do? What shall you do? You shall do just what I said in Ezekiel 34. That's what you shall do. You'll go forward, Lon, and lead this church forward, Lon, and strengthen the sheep that are already there, and care for the injured and the sick inside McLean Bible Church and outside McLean Bible Church. And you will bring back the strays, and you will search for the lost. That's what you'll do." And so we began a new day at McLean Bible Church as we set out to do this. We started Multiply, our first disciple-building church-wide program, as a way of strengthening the sheep that we've already got. And we're going to do Living Grounded this winter. I hope you're in a small group that's going to do that as a follow-up disciple-building program here. And we are going to strengthen the sheep, because only as the sheep are strengthened will we be able to carry out the rest of what God is telling us to do. And then we began serving in elementary schools all across the Washington area at all of our campuses, Title I schools. And if you don't know what a Title I school is, it's a school where over 60% of the children are on free lunch, a very economically depressed school population. And we started here at the Tysons campus. We started at Hutchison Elementary School. Our other campuses are all working in different schools in their areas. And we began not only reaching out with the Bible, but we began reaching out with food and clothing and meals for these children and whatever they needed. And I'd like to announce that at Hutchison Elementary School, we've just begun our first Hispanic-speaking campus. It's been going for 4 weeks, and the people right from the neighborhood just come right on over and attend church right there in the cafeteria. And in 4 weeks, we've had over 40 people give their lives to Jesus Christ, and 3 adult Bible studies start. That's right. The third thing we did is we began to make a massive emphasis on prayer. We meet for a half an hour before every service at every campus, and we get on our knees together and we pray. And I want you in those meetings. I want you to be a part of coming and praying the power of God down onto this city and onto our churches. And we've also begun every service since then with confession of sin and a call to holy living before the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth thing we did is we all studied XEE to learn how to share our faith better. Because how in the world can we search for the lost if we don't even know how to share our faith with them? Number 5, we partnered with other holy, godly pastors and churches from every ethnic group and every racial group and every denominational group who love the Lord. And we established the Washington Prayer Gathering at the Lincoln Memorial when we had 5,000 people show up to pray with 3 weeks' notice. That's all we had when we did that. And we're going to do it again this year. So save the date on your calendar with a little more notice. Man, I'm looking to triple or quadruple that number of people showing up to pray. And we formed the Washington Pastors Fellowship with over 600 churches and pastors in the Washington area from every ethnic group, every denomination, every racial group who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And together we're going after this city. We're through with McLean Bible Church being a Lone Ranger church. We're going to ally with our brothers and our sisters, which is what we should have done. It's my fault we didn't, but we're going to do it now, and we're going to go after Washington together. Praise the Lord, huh? Amen. We started McLean on the Move, where we grouped all of our ministries to help people under one umbrella called McLean on the Move, our clothing ministry, our food pantry, our Call Us ministry. Someone gets burned out of their home, the fire department knows, call us, and we'll get blankets, we'll get furniture, we'll get bedding, we'll get clothing to them. If somebody in a school, a social worker knows that a family has no food, we said, you call us. We'll make sure they get food and much more under McLean on the Move. We donated 2 mobile medical units to help with the refugees from ISIS in Iraq. We started Citywide, which is a new outreach to young adults here in the Washington area that is citywide, and it's exciting to see how the first 4 weeks of that went. We fed at turkey time 135,000 people, we and our partners together, all of whom got a Gospel of John, as well as turkey and cranberry sauce. And we gave out 9,000 gifts at Christmas with our partners to needy children who all got, they and their parents, a Gospel of John. We expanded ADDP, which stands for our Adults with Disabilities Day Program. These are young adults who age out of the public school at age 22, and they have no place to go. There are no services for them to speak of. They have aging parents. What do you do with these folks? Well, we have a 9-to-3 Monday to Friday program that they can attend, and it's like school, but it also gives them things to do that build their self-esteem and make them feel worthy as human beings, and we're expanding that, we hope, this year to Prince William, and then on from there to our Loudoun campus and our Bethesda campus. And finally, the last thing I'll tell you about is that we visited El Salvador. And I met with some government officials down there, and we said, we would love to help your country, but we'll only do it through the churches. And I have a meeting that we believe is going to be set up in March with the president of El Salvador, where I'm going down to meet him and say, we would like in a special way to pour resources into El Salvador, but not through the government. Only through the churches are we willing to do it, to try to change this culture and end drug violence and gang violence and turn this country into a different country for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, listen. We can't take on every country in the whole world, but we can take on one. And the reason we picked El Salvador, among other reasons, is do you know that among the immigrant population in Washington, D.C., the greatest number from any country are Salvadorians. So when you go down on a short-term mission trip and you fall in love like I did with the Salvadorian people, when you come back, there are hundreds of thousands of those same people here in Washington for you to go and care for and work with and spiritually build up. That's why we chose El Salvador. And by God's grace, folks, all of this happened in 12 months. Praise the Lord. Now you say, well, Lon, it sounds to me like you're boasting. I am. I'm boasting in the Lord. I'm boasting in the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? As the Lord builds us into more of an obedient church and into more of a biblical church. And in 2015, I want us to keep doing all of these things and more that a church that loves Jesus ought to be doing. You say, like what? In 2015, I want to see standing room only at every campus, every week with people who are standing in line and famished to hear the word of God and to worship the living Christ. I want to see people coming to Jesus every single week, not just in church services, but all over metropolitan Washington as we and other churches spread out and share the gospel with people in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods. I want to see Christianity 101 have so many people in it every time we offer it that we can't even accommodate all the people who want to know how to have a relationship with Christ. I want to see McLean on the Move vehicles all over Washington so that you can be walking to lunch one day and right by you goes a McLean on the Move truck or a McLean on the Move van, and you're able to knock your friend in the shoulder and say, "You see that van right there? That van is out here meeting the needs of the hungry, the poor, the disadvantaged. That's my church. That's my church doing that. Praise the Lord." We want to start in 2015 micro campuses all over the Washington area with our partner churches. You say, what's a micro campus? A micro campus is a campus that doesn't cost anything. A micro campus is a campus where you walk into a laundromat or you walk up to 10 guys standing outside a liquor store and you say, "Hey, we're going to have church." And you pull a laptop out and you hit the internet campus recording and we have church right there in the laundromat, folks. The cost to us is nothing, but there might be 40 or 50 people there who start coming and come to Christ right there in the laundromat. And we want to do this all over the city of Washington, D.C. Why not? Why not? And all we need is one volunteer and a laptop and a group of people. That's all we need. One more thing. We want to keep going into Title I schools and KIPP schools in D.C. and not just going in there with after-school Bible programs like we do and not just going in there and starting multilingual campuses like we've done in Herndon, but we want to go in there with food and with clothing and with medicines for the families of these children because they don't have any of this. And I could go on, but what I'm trying to say is we want to keep stepping out by faith and doing what God tells us. When God says go, we want to go and be obedient. And we want to be obedient first and worry about the money later. Friends, this is what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be. This is what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to do. This is how the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to operate. Praise the Lord, huh? And I want the Lord Jesus up in heaven to poke Gabriel in the ribs, and I want him to point down at McLean Bible Church and say, "Gabriel, you see that church down there? Now that's what I'm talking about, Gabriel. That's what I'm talking about. That's a church that's doing it the way I want it done." Wouldn't that be great if the Lord Jesus were able to do that with our church? And you say, "Well, where are you going to get the money for all of this?" Wrong first question. No, no. Any church that asks first question, "How are we going to afford this?" will never make the right decisions, ever. Because I don't know where we're getting, I'll tell you what, I know where we're getting the money. We're getting the money from Jesus. That's where we're getting the money. But I don't know how he's going to do it all yet. And I don't care. That's not my job. That's above my pay grade. Jesus said, "You obey me, I'll worry about the money." So that's what we're going to do. The first question we should always ask is not, "Can we afford it?" Because we never can afford it. God never gives the money first. That's not walking by faith. We say, "God, give us the money and then we'll do it." God says, "Uh-uh, no, no, it doesn't work that way. You step out by faith and you do it and then I'll give you the money." The first question any church ought to ask is, what does God want us to do? Where is God calling us to move forward? Where is the cloud lifting and calling us to follow? We follow in obedience to God. God takes care of the manna and the water. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, You can clap for that. But back in October, I was on my knees with the Lord. And I said, you know, Lord, we're going to need about $4 million to end the year in the black, or something like that, as best we could calculate. I said, so you know, what I want you to do, Lord, is I want you to give a confirming sign to us all at McLean Bible Church that we are moving in the right direction, that we are doing what you want us to do and just the way you want us to do it. So here's what I want to ask you, Lord. I want to ask you not to give us $4 million. I want to ask you to give us $8 million. I want to ask you to double the amount we think we're going to need. I want to ask you to give us 50% more than we have ever collected at the end of any year in the history of this church. And Lord, if you do that, it will be a confirming sign to every one of us that you are behind us, that the cloud is lifting, that the cloud is moving, and you are telling us, go, go and do what you're doing. You say, man, what a fleece you threw out. Friends, I did not throw out a fleece. I threw out a 9x13 rug. You understand what I'm saying to you? Would you like to know how we did? Yeah? Okay. In end of year giving in 2014, the Lord gave us $8.1 million. Amen? Amen. And let me tell you how that broke down. He gave us $400,000 towards retiring the debt on this building. And by the way, we in 2003 owed $45 million to the bank in 2003. As of the end of 2014, we owe $650,000. And we're going to pay that off, Lord willing, this year. We're going to burn the mortgage of this church, and we're going to get out of debt, and we're going to stay out of debt at this church. Amen? And then he gave us $7.7 million of operating money. And thanks to the many of you who contributed to that so generously, from my heart, thank you. But you know, we were still a long way away from $8 million as we approached the end of December. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I know you gave me the $8 million figure. I know you did. But Lord, we ain't nowhere near $8 million, Lord. What is going on here? And sometimes you get worried. What are you, crazy? Of course sometimes I get worried. I'm just like you are. And I said, Lord Jesus, I have no idea where the rest of that money is coming from. We're at about six. Lord, I have no idea where is the rest of that money coming from, Lord? Well, let me tell you what happened. A gentleman that I don't even know who he is, who lived in Texas, passed away and went to be with the Lord, and left in his will to us $1.5 million. And when we added the $1.5 million that we found out about at the end of 2014 to what God had already given us, guess where we ended up? $8.1 million. Praise God for that, huh? Man, you talk about God providing from unseen, unexpected places. I don't even know who this guy is. And when I got the email from Bill Steele, I wrote him back and said, now let me make sure I understand. Are you saying that this money goes into December? And that's exactly what the auditor said. We don't have all of it yet, but we will. Folks, praise God. What can we say but praise God? Now let me conclude by saying this. I believe with all of my heart that God is telling us to go. I believe with all of my heart the cloud is lifted and is moving, and God is saying, follow me. Guys, you're heading in the right direction. You're doing the things I want you to do. Don't shrink back in unbelief. Don't shrink back like the Israelites in doubt. Don't shrink back in cowardice. Trust me. Go, go. I got your back. I'll provide the resources you need. Get out there and go and do what you're doing and more of it like I told you to do. And some of the things that we want to do is get into every Title I and KIPP school in the metropolitan Washington area with a campus and with services for those families and start all different kinds of foreign language campuses, whether they're Vietnamese or whether they're Hispanic, doesn't matter. We want to expand ADDP, as I already mentioned, and serve all of our campuses with it. We're going to have another prayer day, Lord willing, down on the mall at the Lincoln Memorial. We have almost struck a deal with IJM, the International Justice Mission, which you know cares for women who've been trafficked and for people who've been domestically abused, etc., to go and open an office in El Salvador and be part of our ministry to that country. And this is just a little bit of what we hope to do. Folks, I am so excited to be part of McLean Bible Church today, and I hope you are too. Amen. God is doing something here at this church. And I want you to pray for me this week. I've been invited down this week to a conference in Dallas that Tony Evans and others are leading based on racial reconciliation in the church, and been asked to speak about what's going on here in Washington, D.C. Bishop Owens from Mount Calvary Holiness Church is going with me. Pastor John Jenkins from First Baptist of Glen Arden is going with us. Several of us are going and going down there to talk to about 100 pastors that are gathering about racial reconciliation among the church in a city. I hope you all will pray for me. It's Thursday. Will you do that? And they want to know what's going on in Washington. Well, praise God, we're going to go down and tell them it's a new day in Washington. God the Spirit is doing something special in this city. Amen? And we're excited about it. And friends, all I need to know is, are you guys in or not? Are you in? Amen. I need you in with your volunteerism. We can't do this just with staff. We're not even going to try. I need you in with your backing. I need you in with your enthusiasm. I need you in with your financial giving. I need you in, most important of all, in your prayer. This is a spiritual battle that we are fighting. We have already taken some casualties, some in my own family. If you think Satan is going to give up this ground easily, you're crazy. But you know what? We are the army of Christ, and we're moving forward. And that's all there is to it. And I need us to be together, and we need to be covered in prayer. Can we all pray for us? Will you pray for us? All right. Let me say in closing one last thing. One of the reasons I asked God to give us $8 million was not just because of what was going on here corporately, but I asked God to give us $8 million so I could say to you what I'm about to say. And that is, my friend, if God can do that for this church, God can do that for you. My friend, if you're facing some difficult things as a follower of Jesus and God is asking you to step out in faith and obey Him, but you have no idea where the resources are coming from, don't you worry about it. You step out in faith and you do what God's asking you to do. And just like He provided resources for us from completely unseen places, He can and will do the very same thing for you. Are you with me? God did this to be a teaching lesson for us individually, to say to us, if I can do it for the church, I can do it for you. Now trust me and obey me, and you will never, ever find that I'll let you down. Folks, step out there and trust the Lord. Don't be afraid to do that. If He can do it for us, He'll do it for you. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for showing us today what You are able to do. Lord, I'm just sorry I didn't ask You for $20 million. I'll learn. But Lord, You gave what we asked for, And you did it in a way that was miraculous, unexpected, unforeseen. But Lord, you did it. And I pray that you would encourage our faith together as a church family, and that you would encourage our faith together as individual believers, that you will never, ever let us down if we are obeying Christ. I remember what Hudson Taylor said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. And that's true for us individually as well as corporately. And so, oh God, we celebrate today your faithfulness. We celebrate today your provision. We celebrate today your power. And Lord, we promise you as a church that we will go. We will step out. We will follow the cloud. We will not shrink back. Lord Jesus, we make that promise to you today. And so use us, God, and our partner churches in a mighty and awesome way for the Lord Jesus Christ in this town. And encourage our hearts with what God has done. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, friends, that was not an $8 million amen. God's people said what?
Amen.
Now, there you go.